As you see there on the saw, there on the screen, we're going to be in Matthew 5 again, looking at the Beatitudes. Well, of course, all of the Beatitudes start with blessed, and just one thing that really occurred to me and has several times in the time that I've been doing devotions over the last two-ish years, is that it really is a tremendously blessing to get to share, to study the Word, and then to get to share with you and to get to study it together. Also, definitely a prayer that just kind of was a reminder of me, just as Mr. Jack was praying, praying for me as I share. So knowing that, you know, as you're sharing the Word, as you're sharing truth, as you're trying to set aside the flesh and trust the Spirit to guide all of your teaching and wisdom and study and everything, that you have people praying for you in those moments. So really grateful for that. Another thing I'm really thankful for this church for. So today we move on to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. The next of our Beatitudes, we'll start by reading that there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Or as the King James says, for they shall be filled. as just mentioned, we have a long history of studying the word blessed and blessed over all of our devotions, going all the way back, jumping the way back machine, go all the way back to Psalm 1, which we talked about almost a year ago probably now. Starts with blessed are those who walk not and stand not in the path or the counsel of sinners. Blessed are those who sit not in the seat of scoffers. We also have all of these Beatitudes starting with that as well. This blessing, as we've talked about many times, kind of an earthly correlation, seems very, you know, in season with an LSU game coming up and being football season. You have a passer or you have a quarterback who holds a ball. They pass that ball to a receiver. This is the same kind of concept with blessing. We have a blesser who holds blessings, passes them down to the blessed. So may we never forget about that. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about that concept, even in light of this specific beatitude, that we are, in fact, blessed, but the originator is God, that it all comes from him, and this is all his activity that we're reading about here. We also see that see this in James 1:17, which says, every good thing given and every perfect gift, so every blessing, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. So it's coming down to us, and what is coming down? Every single good and perfect gift. And who does it come down from? It comes from a blesser, from the Father of lights. We see that continuously throughout Scripture. So today, though, and here in these Beatitudes, we can look and even, you know, think back on the attitudes that we talked about in the past. In Matthew 5:3, we see, blessed are the poor in spirit, which was our first of the Beatitudes that we looked at. How are they blessed? Who are these people? They're those who recognize and see their bankrupt spiritual state. And how are they blessed? They're blessed with spiritual recognition and sight, that God gives them insight into this. You cannot be poor in spirit. You cannot be one of God's people if you're not poor in spirit. This is an activity of God that is the only way that this happens. Move on to verse 4. It says, blessed are those who mourn. Trying to think through, how is this a blessing? Mourning, being sad. This is not generally something that somebody thinks of as, oh, this sounds like a blessing to be, you know, mournful. But these are those who are deeply spiritually saddened over sin, over their sin and the sin of the world. Another way of putting it is they're blessed with brokenness over their own sin and desperation to see the lost redeemed. Moving on to verse 5, which we looked at last time. Blessed are the gentle, those who are meek, like wild stallions, trained to be under control with great restrained power. So you remember we said that these are, don't confuse meek and weak. Those are not, you know, those are not correlated. We see that Jesus is meek. Jesus is certainly not weak. Jesus is all powerful. Another way of putting it, we are blessed with courage under fire, readiness at the rider's command. So we're ready as stallions with our rider's command. Whatever the Lord tells us to do, we are ready with that. We have this great, you know, spirit living within inside of us. We have this great power that is unrestrained when it needs to be, restrained as it needs to be. But the Lord is the one that is at command of all of it. In these blessings and these beatitudes, we always start with a spiritual insight at first, but then we also see the rich rewards that come afterwards. And we said that this is commonly where you'll see, like, you'll commonly see the world basically jump to this part. Because, again, who wants to be talking about poor in spirit? That sounds like poorness. Who wants to be mournful? That sounds terrible. You know, who wants to be any of these things? I want the common stuff. I want to be inheriting the kingdom. I want to be, you know, inheriting the entire earth. I want to be, comforted. These are all the things I want. I just want to jump to that part. Of course, we dispelled all of that. But we see for those who have the spiritual insights first, even going all the way back again to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3. Blessed is him who sits not, stands not in these ways, sits not in these ways of these sinners. But instead it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Here's the rich reward also. It will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whenever he does, he prospers. So there's blessing. There's rich reward that comes out of this, this blessing that the Lord gives. So what about the rewards that we see here in the Beatitudes? Well, starting in verse 3 of Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So there's a kingdom of heaven that we're going to be rewarded with for all of eternity. We're already enjoying the benefits of that now. It's not something we have to merely die to actually see, but we get a glimpse of that now. We are partaking in the rich rewards of that now. Verse 4. For the mournful, what's their reward? They will be comforted, as we talked about. Verse 5, the gentle or the meek, well, they will inherit the earth or the new earth, as we talked about. So there are rewards that come to all of these people ultimately. Unfortunately, again, I think that our temptation, probably of our flesh and definitely of the world, though, is to jump to that latter part and go, oh, that's the blessing. The blessing isn't found in the poorness of spirit. It's like, no, without the poorness of spirit, without the blessing of the poorness of spirit, you're not going to have what comes afterwards. You're not going to get the rich rewards of, eternity. So our great blesser blesses his children with rich blessings indeed. So let's look at today's beatitude found in verse 6 there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. here our blesser blesses us, his children, with first hunger and thirst. Again, not probably the most default position that we would be thinking. We're like, oh, there's going to be great things coming, hunger and thirst. Not the things that, kind of equate that with poorness, which we already talked about also. But verse 6 is similar to verse 4. If you look back at verse 4, it says, blessed are those who mourn. So we see mourning, we see hunger, we see thirst. These are verbs. These are things that are happening. These are things that they're about. But it's a little bit different than verses 3 and 5. 3 and 5 talk about them being poor in spirit, being gentle. These are more like attributes or types of people. So it's not that, they're not blessed are the gentle, those who are strong in gentleness. It says blessed are those who are the gentle. It's a type of person. So we see types of people versus what those people are about. Again, we want to remember at the core of this, everything in these Beatitudes is the activity of God. You're not going to be poor in spirit. You're not going to get the kingdom of heaven without God doing all of it. Same thing goes with each one. First and last, it's all going to be about the activity of God. so he's not only blessing the who's of verses 3 and 5, but he's also blessing the how's or what they're doing or how they're going about it. All, again, the activity of God. so in other words, you are blessed in who you are, and you are blessed in what he has you doing. And I was very hesitant to write that in there because it was like without any qualification. If you were to grab a soundbite, that sounds very, very happy, happy, joy, joy, doesn't it? It just sounds like, ooh, rainbows and unicorns and all that, right? So I'm like, oh, I'm blessed. I'm wonderful. And everything I do is wonderful. And, how can anything go wrong for me? Of course, that forgets all the context around that, which we're going to spend some time talking about. And it also forgets the core tenet of all this, which is, again, this is all about the activity of God. This is not about what you bring to the table by your own will and by your own volition and by your own desires and because you're a great person and because you just got a really nice guy who wanted to do great things for everybody. It's not that at all. if it seems like I'm beating a dead horse, I put this little pun in here. If it seems like I'm beating a dead horse to you meeked stallions that we talked about last time, well, it's because you and I did not conjure up or desire or will to do anything in the Beatitudes. Every good and holy thing we are and are about is a blessing from the hand of God. And I'm hoping and praying that as we pray today, that this will really resonate with us. Everything that's good, everything that we're about, everything that we're asking God for prayer for is really we're asking for. We're thanking God for the activity of God. We're thanking him that he's given us the burden for that, that he's done these things in us, that he's even made us care that anyone around us gets saved or that there's a lost and dying world, or that we're mournful about that. So we have another mark of our rich blessings, and that is that hunger and thirst, as we talked about our verbs, here in verse 6. But they are actually special kinds of verbs. They are ongoing verbs. So these are not verbs that are like you had a one-time hunger and you had a one-time thirst and then you ate and that's the end. This is an ongoing, perpetual, continuous thing that is happening over and over and over. So if you're not sure that these perpetual hunger and thirst are blessings, then you can just read on what follows that. We see it right there. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's a specific type of hunger and thirst. Just like, it doesn't say blessed are the poor. It doesn't say blessed are those who are sad, you know, without any context. It doesn't say, you know, blessed are those who are gentle, again, without any context. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for a specific thing, and that is righteousness. God blesses his children with continuous ongoing desire for righteousness. That in itself is a blessing. So let's look a little bit at that. I'm going to jump over to, go back a couple on screen here. Go to Matthew 3. Down to verse 15. See the baptism of Jesus. Start in verse 13. And Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to him. To be baptized by him, but John prevented him, tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? But Jesus answering to him said, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So even the beginning of Christ's earthly ministry is an activity of God. This is an exercise in the righteousness of God right here. This is what we're being told, you know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, or something like this. Another really famous chapter that we can flip to and look at, Romans 3. If you are ever out and about and, you know, if you decide to, you know, share the gospel with people walking down the Romans road, there's a verse that's always pointed to in this, in Romans 3:23. But there are some really amazing verses around 3:23 that give 3:23 a whole lot of context. So if we start back in Romans 3:21. It says, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God, the same righteousness that we're hungering and thirsting for, it's the same word that's used there. Apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So the law and the prophets testify over time, over thousands of years, to this righteousness that you and I are called to, are told that we're blessed for hungering and thirsting for. So it's a continuous progression. Put it on a timeline. It started way out here. It goes like this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And thousands of years later, here we are still being blessed for it all these years later. Doesn't stop there. Look at verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction. Talking about the difference between Gentiles and Jews. We're definitely not going to get into in this devotion right now. But the righteousness of God through faith in Christ. So we have the holiness and the character is for those who believe through faith in Christ, very specific group of people. Goes on to that famous verse, of course. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's a comma. It's not where it ends. That's a lot of times where people stop, you know, sharing this passage. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through redemption, which is in Christ Jesus. So there's the but, there's the turning, there's the after the fact. That isn't where it ends. For all of sin to fall short of the glory of God, the end. I mean, that's not where the book ends, that's not where the passage ends, that's not even where the sentence ends. You know, there's a comma, and then it says, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption. But going on to verse 25, it says, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness. Same word. Because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. So again, we see more of the righteousness of God, this same hunger and thirst that he's giving you the desire for right here in this verse. Verse 26, we see it again. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. This whole entire thing right here is probably a year's worth of sermons, so I'm not going to do it any kind of, you know, justification, you know, here in a short devotion. But suffice it to say that the hunger and the thirst for righteousness that God is giving you, in Matthew 3:15, we saw that it is the start of Jesus' earthly ministry when he's baptized by John. We see here in Romans 3, it's manifestation of God's holiness and character. Verse 23:22, we see its holiness and character is for those who believe through faith in Christ. Verse 25, we see it's a God's demonstration of forgiveness in Christ. Verse 26, we see God being just in judging sin and justifier in delivering people from it. These are all the righteousness of God that he is giving you a hunger and a thirst for. How incredible is that? So when God makes us hunger and thirst for righteousness, he makes us perpetually crave a part in Christ's ministry, God's holiness and character, deliverance and belief in faith in Christ, and a greater understanding, adoration, and appreciation for God as justice or as judge, but also as justifier. This is, again, all the activity of God. So yeah, you meet stallions. This verse is still over here, kind of off camera, while we're, you know, still kicking that horse while we're kind of looking elsewhere, you know, looking at righteousness. It's still kind of like saying, no, this is still an ongoing thing. It's all about the activity of God. It's all about his righteousness and what he's doing in us, the hunger and the thirst and the drive and the passion for it that he's giving us. So we're perpetually hungering, thirsting, but where does this all lead? Well, of course, because we are believers, because we can take great confidence in the before the comma, we can look to the after the comma. We can look to the rewards. We don't need to jump straight there. But it leads to another blessing and a promise from God. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So shall be. We see that that is a future tense. That's talking about something in the future. Even if you look back in the original text, it was like, let me make sure this is an accurate translation. It is. It is very much talking about the future to come. And it is a promise, because if God says he's going to do it, he is going to do it. Surely he will follow through with what he says. So this is a promise of a future. So don't gloss over that. Don't just jump to, oh, well, you know, I'm going to jump to the part where it says I'll be satisfied. It says you shall be. That's a promise from God in his word. God is giving you his word. He's going to do that. And what a perfect word. It means satisfied. Satisfied means contented, of course, as we know, as King James translates it. It means filled. Another way to kind of think of satisfaction. Unlike hunger and thirst, though, satisfied is not an ongoing thing. This is it's not perpetual and ongoing. It is a promise of a future rest. It is a promise that happens at one point, and then that's it. It's settled. It goes on in you know, forever. It isn't something that happens over and over and over again. For instance, when you eat a meal, and then you're like, hey, it's been 6 hours, I'm kind of hangry now, and, you know, I need to get some more food. So you go, let me go track down some food. It's not that kind of satisfaction. It's like, man, if I could eat that one meal, you know, maybe you had that amazing meal that was monstrously huge, and you think, at least for a time, I can't fathom ever being hungry again for the rest of my life. I am that full right now. But picture that's reality, not just your perception. You know, that this is actually the rest. This is actually the peace that you're at for the rest of time. Or outside of time, because we're talking about an infinite eternity that we get to spend with our Lord. So as we've seen in previous promises in these Beatitudes, this is also alluded to elsewhere. It says the poor in spirit gain the kingdom of heaven. That's promised for eternity that we will gain. It says the meek will inherit the earth, or inherit the new earth, as we talked about. So we see those elsewhere here in the Beatitudes as well. So perhaps you're thinking perpetual hunger and thirst, then eventually satisfaction. So what about between the two? Because I'm hungry and thirsty perpetually, and then someday I'm in a state of satisfaction. That sounds really hard between now and then. You know, those don't sound like, so what are we supposed to do about that? Well, we can even look even more into the activity of God, because that's where it all comes back to. God can and does sustain us for that. If you jump to, I'll do this on screen too if I can, jump to John 6. So Jesus says, just fed the 5,000, not long before this, earlier in this chapter. The people go to, they're on one side of the lake. They're like, Rabbi, how'd you get it here? Of course, he walked across the lake, of course. So that's how Jesus got there. So they're shocked by this. They're like, what is going on here? Look in John 6. Verse 26, then Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. So not because of these spiritual wonders that I'm doing, but because I gave you physical sustenance. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you, for on him the Father, even God, has set his seal. And if you jump down to verse 35 there as well, Jesus connects the dots here. He says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So this is Jesus directly addressing your hunger and your thirst for righteousness, this constant craving that you have for it, by saying that I will also sustain you in the here and now. This isn't just a point where you're going, oh, someday I'm going to die and I'm going to be completely satisfied. Until then, I'm going to be in this hungry, starved state. He says, no, I'm going to sustain you because I am the bread of life. If you partake in me, you will not hunger, you will not thirst. I am going to sustain you. Christ is our bread of life. He satisfies us with himself, the food which endures to eternal life. So, not starting in eternity, but started and going on into eternity. We also have, I'll just read this real quick, from John 4, 13 and 14, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. He says, Jesus answered her and said, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him will come in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. So Christ is living water, removing thirst with water springing up to eternal life. So this is not just, oh, like right now I'm kind of thirsty, so I took a drink of water, and right now I'm good. It's actually, no, that water that is in my body that's like trying to sustain my cells and my life right now, it's going to spring up into something. It's going to spring up into a well that will bring about eternal life. So Christ is the sustaining bread of life, is water springing up to eternal life. So in this one verse, we can see we have God is blessing us with perpetual hunger and thirst for righteousness. We can see that he is sustaining us by allowing us to feast on the bread of life and living water that is his son. And we can see that he is promising us eternal satisfaction in him. How very blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So that's all I had for that specific beatitude. It is an amazing one. Lord willing, I may end up at some point in the future diving into also Romans 4, which talks a lot about righteousness of God and how he gives us a hunger and a thirst for that, but also how he satisfies us in that. So if you want to go ahead and cheat or just do your own studies, I would definitely encourage you. Romans 4 is an awesome place to study that, because who doesn't want to study Romans anyway, right? So anyway, so let's take a few minutes and we'll go ahead and pray. Mr. Frank, if you wouldn't mind, open us up. And Chris, would you mind closing us? We'll just pick on the last row today. So, thanks, Chris. Thank you, Chris. Sorry, Mr. Todd has a question. What was your question?
Who did you call?
Mr. Frank's going to open, and then whenever everyone has time, Chris is going to close us.
Okay.
Yep, thanks.
Father, we thank you for the living water that you have given to us. Father, we thank you that we have entered into eternal life, Father, and that we are experiencing even that. We thank you, Father, that you continue to drive us to know you better, to continue to hunger and thirst after your righteousness, Father, to understand what it means to be fulfilled, Father. Lord, we ask that. As we pray for others that we would hunger and thirst to see righteousness in their lives, those that don't know you, those that do know you. Father, we ask that our words would, as we speak, Father, that our words will overflow with righteousness. That, Father, as our thoughts think about your righteousness, that, Father, it would just overflow when we speak to others. We ask, Father, that it would create in them a desire to also hunger and thirst after your righteousness. Father, we just thank you that we have your word to inform us, and thank you, Lord. By your grace, for great understanding and belief, and the Father in believing, we're able to obey you, and give us the grace to obey you, and give us the grace to desire you, and give us the grace to trust in you. We thank you for this time.
Dear Lord, we do thank you for this time. Thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. We thank you that you originated a hunger and a thirst in us, Father. Lord, we thank you that you keep that alive and active, Father, as only you can do. And we thank you that you don't leave us hungry and thirsty. You show us, Lord, that you sustain us, Lord, that you make nothing in this world in and of itself, Father, good enough to fill that, Lord, that you show us that emptiness and you draw us to you as the only source of the fullness. We praise you for that. Thank you for blessing us with that hunger and thirst, Lord. We pray that you would order our steps this morning, Lord. Praise you in Jesus' name.
Lord, I thank you for the gathering of the saints, Lord, the opportunity to study your word. Thank you, Lord, for the rich beyond description, Lord, just in these words, Lord, that we would thirst, that we would hunger for a righteousness that is of you, Lord, that we cannot do any of these things apart from you. We cannot experience, act out, desire even more righteousness apart from you. Lord, we praise you so much that you promise not only to sustain us now through Christ, which is just unfathomable, but Lord, that you give us an eternity to praise you and to adore you and to love you and to worship you and to enjoy unfettered fellowship with you by sustaining us, Lord, as your word says. Thank you, Lord, so much for these Beatitudes, for the opportunity to study them together, Lord. Pray that you would be at the center of everything we do and think and say today. Also pray for a special blessing right now on Mr. Todd, that your spirit would minister to him as he brings the word today, Lord, that he would be able to rightly divide the word, Lord, that your spirit would give him words of life, words of hope, Lord, and also minister to each of our spirits, Lord. Thank you for the gathering of saints today.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the word that you gave to us this morning. To put us in mind that we are in God's righteousness. We need your righteousness. Thank you for the legitimate desires you put us in. As us regenerate us, we have these hungers and thirsts to be justified. So we thank you so much for letting us sustain. Thank you that you sustain us and that we will be fully satisfied with this continuous ongoing desire that drives us to follow hard after us. Father, grant us even more faith to lay aside the things that we continue to. Even though we're already completely not built in ourselves, we long to be cleansed, to remain sins in us, to lay us to face and kill us. To give us this kind of consciousness, we will see things that we have in us, that we desire too much. And we've long wanted it for a long time. Desire your truth and your justice and your mercy. But this is the part we ask for the ability to live that in front of other people that we help them see the Lord and draw them in. This is the way we walk through faith to be just. Father, we pray for Mark and Beth as the travel, to give them blessings as he preaches. For others that are working and can't be here, Jesus, bless them and they hope and those that we are blessed to worship. Father, we pray that you would have our prayers, that you would help us to fight against the cares of this world, but particularly the folks that are in it, so that we can focus on your work. Thank you for the healing that you provide for those that have been ill, for restoring us, and for fellowship, and that you continue to watch over and bless the ladies in the room. Safe delivery. Father, just thank you for your son, Jesus Christ.